Hazel Irvin here at Spencer Park in Coventry, where 37-year-old Emily and her mates are taking part in a fancy dress fun run to fundraise for Sport Relief. And that means I've been lumbered with her dog, Tilly. Oh, Tilly, not over there. And they're off. An impressive array of costumes on show today. Everything from penguins to pirates, all taking on poverty and injustice. Respect. Spectacular. Poverty getting crushed by Katie on a space hopper. Easy. Coming into the final stretch now, and it's neck and neck. I think we're in for a photo finish here. But it's Suzanne, smashing through injustice. She is our winner. Hey, Tilly, get off my tutu. Tilly, sit. You can help change the world too. Just order your free fundraising pack at sportrelief.com. Sport Relief, it's game on. This message was brought to you by Acast.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, the Bay Area Betches.
Betches!
You're the Wyndham beneath our wings, Joe Wyndham.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels!
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Oops, she did it again. It's Brittany Montano.
Erin McNicholas. She don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Sarah Greenwood. She only uses her power for good.
He makes us squee. It's Richie D.
Jamie. She has no last namey.
Ashley Schiavone. She don't take no baloney.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
One day you're Rachel's in, and the next day you're out.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Lisa Wallet. Now that's what I call wallentainment.
Higher than high res, it's Lauren Perez.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson.
And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We like her more than a smidge, it's Kelly Cartledge.
Better than Taboo. It's Annie and Julie. Let's take off with Tamala Plain.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Yes, we should with Carrie Bridgewood.
Lourdes, the Lourdes of the Rings.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
The incredible Edible Matthews sisters.
Give them hell, Miss Noel. Kelly Stump, the Stump Master.
Always ready for Nicole Passaretti.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Is a frog's ass watertight? It's Rose and Sadie.
No one can do it like Andrea Jewett.
Yes, we can with Howley, Carolyn and Anne.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD. Nancy Cease and Desisto. We love you guys. Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on Ye Olde Bravs. I'm Ronnie. Hello, everybody. And with me is little Ben Mandelker, my co-host and bestie. How you doing, Ben?
Hi, great, thanks. How are you?
Good. Happy Monday, sucker.
Happy Monday. By the way, slightly sad Monday. A Bravo celebrity is no longer with us.
Uh-oh. Did you hear about away? This? I don't think so.
Well, James Lipton, the host of Inside the Actor's Studio, died at, I believe, 92 or 93, which is actually very impressive. I didn't even realize he was that up there.
Yeah, you go, boy. That's a great age.
Great age, and he is a pillar of Bravo. He was with Bravo before Bravo became what it is now. He was when Bravo was about fine arts and culture and was something that you took pride in watching.
How dare you? I saw Jules Aaron ice skate one time on Bravo. It is still culture. It is my cultural universe, sir. Well, God, you know, bless your heart, James, and rest in peace, buddy. And don't worry, you've got Andy Cohen to take over for it. So, Meryl Streep, what about your boobs? Hey, Meryl, when was the last time somebody touched your boobs? Let's talk about it, all right?
Hey, Robert De Niro, I'm going to play a game with you. Whose crotch is whose? Okay, we're going to show a bunch of crotches, and then you, in your favorite Raging Bull accent, will tell us whose crotch is who.
Yeah, keeping it classy over there. Well, guys, we are going to be traveling in a couple of weeks to Salt Lake City for a live show. If you want to come, come. It's the Metro Music Hall. Metro Music Hall on 319, okay, which is this month. And then after that, we're going to be in Orlando, Charleston, which is a big one for us. It's going to be a fun weekend for us. We're going to be doing the season premiere of Real Housewives of New York City in Charleston. And then we'll be in Madison and Oklahoma City. We're going to be in tons of places this year. So just go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find our ticket links. You know, just do that.
And then, by the way, and some of those shows are actually starting to run out of tickets. Like the Asbury Park one only has like 10 tickets left. And a bunch of the other ones are now like we're starting to get into danger zone. So the time to start making decisions is now.
Don't wait. Don't sleep on top of it. Yeah, so go get tickets. Also, bonus episode, super fun. We did a road trip episode that's a two-parter. The next part comes out this week. That's on Patreon. And we do Crappens On Demand videos. If you want to watch us on your smart TV, you can mirror them from Patreon. And that's that. So let's get on today with Real Housewives of Atlanta. Woof.
Wow, what an episode, and what a way to begin, by the way, with Trixie Monocle busting out. Trixie Monocle was really amped up to about 12. She was going so fast. Did you catch her opening song? She became like the Micro Machines guy. The opening song, she goes, "Don't you stop, don't you stop, don't you stop, don't you stop, keep on giving, don't give up, don't give up, don't give up, don't you stop, don't you stop, keep on giving, don't you don't, keep on giving." I was like, okay, whoa.
Yeah, Trixie Monocle has made it past her heroin addiction, and she's moved straight into crystal meth. It's like, Trixie, girl. I mean, I don't know what. Yeah, it was a lot of sudden energy from Trixie.
Yeah, she came on strong. And the opening scene was a baby shower for Eva, which, you know, it's sort of the way this episode began. It seemed so bright and sunny and lovely. It seemed like nothing could ever ruin it, which seemed like be a happy place. But I do have a question. Do people have baby showers for every single one of their babies? I thought it was just like the first baby. It's every baby gets a shower.
Yes, of course. Just like every marriage gets a fucking wedding and a bridal shower and all that. Yeah, you get a shower for every baby. Why do you think people keep having them? I think there's an economic incentive to have babies, and that's why people keep having them. They want the fucking gifts, okay? They want to go register.
Baby complex.
Yes, that's what it is. You know, if we stopped having baby showers, the population overgrowth would be stopped. We'd have no problem. Like, we'd solve global warming, okay? Stop buying your friends presents every time they get knocked up, okay? Save the world.
You know, I remember watching when I was younger the episode of Sex and the City where Sarah Jessica Parker, she gets like engaged to herself, or she says that, or she basically registers for herself and has a party and everyone has to buy stuff because she's like, I'm not getting married, I don't have kids, so like, why does everyone else get presents and I don't get presents? And I remember watching that and being like, that's kind of silly. Like, what? That's a silly episode. But now that I'm not 21 and I see the ways of the world and I know that I'm not having any kids, I don't know if I'll get married or not. And I'm just like, all these people get to have presents.
Yeah.
I really understand that episode now. I get it.
Yeah. I just buy in bulk from Amazon, so when my friends get pregnant, they just all get the same gift. It's wrapped really nicely, and it has a card that says, "Love, Uncle Ronnie." You know, it's just a little muzzle, a little tiny muzzle, and I'm done. I don't have to worry about it ever again.
That's smart. I mean, actually, the truth is I don't need to. I don't. The last person who needs a shower, at least a gift shower, a gifting shower, but a water shower, yes, I definitely need that. But the last person who needs a shower of gifts is me, because I am filling up my apartment with tchotchkes. I went to CB2 yesterday just for the fun of it. I just wanted to feel alive. And there was like a little glass thing to put creamer in with your coffee. And it's glass and shaped like a little carton of milk. And I got it. And I don't use creamer. And I got it because it looks so cute. So I'm already giving myself a baby shower, clearly.
Yeah, I'm an old lady. Like, I go to Home Goods and just buy any kind of crap I can get and just bring it in, just shovel that stuff in there. And then, you know, when it's time to go to Goodwill, they're like, who wants this? Like
I know.
Do you have any blankets maybe to help those in need? It's like, nope, it's a big ball made out of string. Okay, why? I don't know. I don't know. Just to, you know, give it to somebody. Okay, yeah, so here we are at this Home Goods sour, and it's very pretty. It's all sunflowers. Sunflowers. Yeah,
super pretty. I loved it. And Cynthia's,
of course,
Cynthia's.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, Cynthia is hosting it, and she's like, the fact that I could have delivered Eva's baby on the side of the road just takes our friendship to another level. I'm like, no. You didn't deliver the baby. You don't get to have credit for delivering the baby. Okay, you drove her to the hospital when she was having pre-labor contractions or whatever that's called.
Yeah.
But, like, no, you don't get to bond over that.
Yeah,
no,
I drove somebody. That took our relationship to the next level.
How would you feel about the Uber driver saying that about you next time he takes you to the airport? When Cynthia had to rush the airport to get to Chill and I drove her there, that really took our relationship to the next level. You wouldn't like that, Cynthia.
And of course, Nene comes in just as a little ray of sunshine herself. And she's like, yeah, that's a cute house, but it's not Eva's. We haven't even seen her house. She moves from box to box to box to box to box. Where, you know, this woman is so vile. You know why she does that.
Yeah.
Like, it's horrible. She's a horrible human being. Get off this show. Okay, thanks. Yeah, you know, PSA don't... for the day. Get rid of Nene. Thank you. Thanks for joining.
Yes, please. Please, Nene, don't put, like, Eva on blast about, you know, not showing her house when you literally punched someone's tooth out because you didn't want to show your closet last season. Okay. Like, you're really, you don't have like a foot to stand on when it talks about, you know, opening up your life to people. But luckily we also have Tanya who arrives, and she's like, whoa, this sun garden is everything.
Sunflower.
Ooh, it's sangria.
So then Nene is gossiping about Kenya's emotionally abusive prick of a husband.
Can't wait to dive into that, by the way. Oh, so excited. God. So excited.
And Forrest is like, well, she's just not being herself around him, which is kind of a blessing, I think, when Nene points that out. But yeah, he's a monster. And Nene's like, LOL, like loving it. And then... basically, it's like wedding shower things. Well, wedding shower. Wow, you're having a baby. That's... Oh, I had a baby one time. Hey, you guys have a baby?
Hi, I'm Mal. I'm Mal. I'm here too.
Yeah.
Because Mal walks up. Mal walks up like that. Like, just that. When you go to a friend's house and they've got a bunch of cats and the cats all come out or something, but there's always that one slow cat that takes like 10 minutes. You're like, oh, I didn't even realize you had another cat. That's Mal. She's like, hi, I'm the slow cat.
Yeah, they're like, oh, sorry, Mal was under the bed. She stays under the bed till she feels like she can really trust you guys, you know?
She heard there was tuna fish out here, so.
So Nene tells us that she's been extending olive branches to Kenya.
Oh,
She just says olive branch all the time.
Yeah. And so, but I mean, I will, okay, you know, I hate to give Nene credit, but she did send a text to Kenya in April, and she showed us the text. The text was a legitimate olive branch. I'm not gonna say it wasn't. The text said, hey, Kenya, life is short. With Greg sick, going to Kim Porter's funeral, and Nipsey dying, it's been a lot. I just want to extend an olive branch. Congrats on your happiness. I have a baby gift when I see you. Like, I mean, you know, with Nene, there's always, like, ulterior motives. She's trying to get back in with the cast, et cetera, et cetera. But it was not, you know... A lot of times Nene will be like, well, I didn't eat all the peanut butter in the jar. I left some for her, and that was my olive branch. You're like, that's not an olive branch. This one, I thought, for a Nene olive branch was...
I thought it was disgusting. I mean, she's saying Greg's sick. Okay, that's using someone else's pain. Going to Kim Porter funeral, that's someone else's death. And then Nipsey dying. Now you're going to use Nipsey Hussle as your... I mean, come on, Nene. How about... I'm sorry. How about that for an
that's
olive
true.
Branch?
That's true. She doesn't say... Yeah. Well, the thing is, she undoes it all anyway, because the whole situation with her safari brunch, and she invites, she does superficial shit afterwards. So, like, she sends this text. Here's my concern is that she sends this text knowing that she can show it on camera a few months later.
Yes, exactly.
And Kenya knows that too, which is probably why she doesn't respond. And then she has the safari brunch thing, and Kenya shows up. Nene's not even there yet. Nene shows up 2 hours after that, and then starts to turn on Kenya. Like, Kenya's not being supportive after Nene gave the olive branch of inviting her to a safari brunch.
It's just like, that's just so Nene. Like, people have died. Okay, see you soon.
I think there's,
you don't win,
I don't think
points
it's
because other people have gone through pain, you asshole.
No, I do. I don't think there's anything wrong with gaining perspective from something like death. But that's what we just talked about last week on Vanderpump Rules, when Lisa Vanderpump's mom suddenly tragically dies, and Jax's takeaway is not, I shouldn't be worrying about this bull, like the stupid shit in my life. My takeaway is, I want to cut out more people from my life, be more petty. You know, I think it's okay to get in perspective. I just, with Nini, you don't really know what's going on, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe I got bamboozled.
Yeah, you did. Because what is she doing right now? Life's too short. So I'm going to talk about Kenya's relationship being terrible and, you know, Eva moving all the time and not having her own house. It's like, yeah, you've learned a lot.
True. Life's too short. So I'm going to show up 2.5 hours late.
Yeah. And waste exactly. Time. So then, Kenya comes in and Nini's like, what kind of evil person would get that text and say nothing about it? You.
Yeah, you. Exactly. The main person would be you, Nini.
And so Kenya comes in with her fake ass, you know, like, hi, I love it. Sunflowers, gold seeds. Wow.
Wah, wah, wah.
So then Kenya finds a way to get mad even about food. So they start eating the food, and Kenya's like, okay, for this Caribbean food. And Eva says, yeah, your husband would thoroughly appreciate this. And Kenya's like, yeah, well, he complained earlier that I didn't have food for him. And I'm like, really, Mark? You don't know how to get your own food? And Kenya says, yeah, well, you know, the second best thing to I love you is like, what do you want to eat? You know, it's a man.
And Kenya's like, I'm sure Tanya's plate is not as full as mine. I have a husband and not a fiance. I have a baby. And if she's spending so much time feeding Paul, why is he always looking for cookies? I'm like, you have a husband technically for the next 36 hours. and by the way, it's not like a husband, like a husband is more of a plate than a fiance.
She's a monster.
I can't stand when people talk like that. Even though I have been standing for Kenya, like when people say things like, I have a husband, like that
I'm
somehow.
I'm married, like, and you're not. It's like, congratulations. You got some guy who's using you for television fame and stayed with you for 5 fucking minutes because you're insane. Okay. Wow. Congratulations. You're really living the dream. What a goal. Yeah. You found someone to marry you. Come on.
Come on. So,
have a baby. Know? Guess what? Babies are like a natural thing that happen to people. Okay.
Yeah, guess what? I have running water. So, like these things that natural things.
Yeah,
I guess neither are that natural always.
Yeah,
running water is actually not natural at all. It's the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I got you.
Thank you. So now Candy and Marlo show up, which means it's time for game time, bridal shower game time. Fun.
And it's Cynthia. Like, it's,
yeah.
Are you expecting me to have something for this? I don't. Okay. They're
no.
Like, wow, let's play games. Why does anybody let Cynthia be in charge of games? They're lame. Okay.
No.
The games are lame. So then after they play some games, Candy pulls Kenya and Tanya aside for a talk because she's going to mediate this thing. And she's like, you know, Mark said that he really hoped she could make it to the fundraising thing, Tanya. Because, of course, Kenya still can't bring herself to an extended invite. And she's like, this is about empowering men, you know. And Kenya says that. She's like, this is about empowering young men. And I hope that we can get together and show that we can empower them. And my husband and I had to just get on the same page with how we were inviting people. And she was invited. In other words, you're trying to be an asshole. And he called you on it. And now you're forced to invite people that you don't like. Ha ha.
Yeah, exactly. And she's like, I'm putting aside my pride and my ego because I want this event to go well for Mark. And Tanya's like, Tanya, Paul's not going to attend. I mean, he felt a certain way about bringing a woman who had a frivolous claim. And Kenya's like, well, I brought it to you. And she's like, well, it was directed at him. And Kenya's like, to us, she's like, what are you still mad about? I'm very stingy with my apologies. She's acting like it's such an honor to receive an apology from her. When, by the way, later this episode, one of the things that she does complain about with Mark is that he never apologizes. Like, what are you learning from this relationship, Kenya? What are you taking away?
Nothing. So, yeah, she says she's stingy with her apologies. And she goes, and I recently acknowledged I was wrong in a sincere way, which is such a funny way to say that she never said she's sorry.
Yeah.
And then we get a clip of her. And she wasn't saying she was sorry about the cookie lady. She was saying she would like to apologize on being called out or calling Tanya out on her name.
And Tanny goes, well, that was a first. And Kenny goes, well, at 40, you've never been called out of your name. She goes, well, no, not with that word. And Kenny's like, well, I've never called anyone that word either. So it was a first for me, too. I'm like, what, do you want a fucking Oscar? Like, what? Like, yeah. Congratulations, you used the word. She's used that word before, by the way. Clearly.
Yeah, of course.
She was in the beauty pageant, okay? You think that word wasn't being thrown around as they were lining up to go on stage? Out of my way, cut fitness.
Yeah, so it's like somehow Tanya's fault that Kenya made her use that word. So, okay. Yeah. So she's like, well, it's a higher cause, so hopefully Paul can look at the bigger picture like I'm looking at the bigger picture with Nene. What are you talking about? You're not looking at the bigger picture. You tried not inviting her, and he made you. You're not looking. You still haven't even said hello to Nene, so...
Yeah.
Who are you kidding?
Exactly. So basically, Kenya, the Candy is asking if Paul wants to be around the group at all. And Kenya is talking about, like, you know, how Mark was just really upset that Paul, I guess, didn't show up or wasn't around or just the way everything went down. And Tanya's like, oh, how ballsy is this woman that she's trying to get my fiance's good name that she tried to tear down to represent for her husband's new charity event in Atlanta where he don't even live? Whoa!
You should have thought of that before you came with cookies!
Yeah.
So Tanya's like, yeah, I'll pass along that invitation. Okay.
Yeah.
And then Kenya says, well, if she wants to keep Paul from attending something so positive, then that shows you what kind of person Tanya Sam is.
By the way, like, all this talk, we don't even really understand what this charity event is truly for until we get there, because it's all just this vague, leadership thing. Like, we know it has something to do with mentorship, which is obviously super important, but there is something kind of like nebulous and slapdash about this whole event. Like, no clear mandate. It almost feels, to me, it really felt like Mark wanted to do something on TV to make himself look awesome. And I mean, obviously there were other people involved, and we did get to see, like, there was definitely a legitimate charity, it seemed, attached. And, you know, I said, mentorship is super important. But at this point, as I was watching, it just kind of felt like a weird ego trip thing for Mark. I was like, I'm not surprised that Paul was like, what is this? Why would I do this? I don't even know what this event is. Like, what's going on with this anyway? And then on top of that, his wife tries to drag me down, and my wife, no, thank you.
Yeah, good for Tanya. So then we get a weird, like, fairy tale Trixie Monocle song. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the best diva of them all? She's in the kitchen with legs, cooking up some rice and eggs. I was like, okay. And so we go to Kenya, because Kenya's always talking about her fairy tale. And guess what? Cinderella is talking to a graphic designer on the phone. Okay? It's all Cinderella ever wanted, okay? A graphic designer.
Well, I mean, listen, those brochures aren't going to make themselves, and her stepsisters sure as hell aren't going to make them. I like that. A new Cinderella updated for 2020. Cinderella is not like taking ashes, cleaning up ashes on the ground. Bye, ashes. She's making calls with graphic designers to put together a pamphlet.
Yeah, I don't know about your theory of the stepsister, so I think no one knows how to work Photoshop better than an ugly stepsister. So Kenya's like, well, I'm well connected in Atlanta, and I've plugged everything that Mark needs to pull this off. I'm the wizard behind the screen, okay?
Yeah, so she got, we see her with clips with all these different people. She books a caterer, she gets the security, she's doing the seating chart, she gets the step and repeat. She's doing, as far as we can tell, all the work. And I'm happy to take that on face value. I mean, like,
I guess, except for one of these things on her list. She booked security for herself to follow her around.
But you know what, though? She probably got a discount on all of it, which is probably due to her celebrity. So I'm going to give her credit. In terms of, I'm banking the credit now for later on when I start getting mad. That's all I'm doing.
Right. You get this one coin, Kenya, okay?
Oh, she'll get many, many for me.
Yeah, well, I just mean for right now. You've banked one coin. Yes. You've banked
a coin.
Credit coin with Ben. For helping get the caterer.
She did do that work, though. What was he doing? What was he doing?
Yeah, I'm not saying she didn't do it.
I know, but I'm getting mad.
I'm just adding up your coins for you, okay?
Please. Don't count my coins.
So Candy is practicing her audition read, or she's taping her audition tape with Don Juan.
Yeah, she's auditioning for The Shy, and so she's recording on camera, and Don Juan, now, on top of everything else he does, apparently now he also has, he is a director. I mean, on the same day that we lost James Lipton, here comes the next generation's James Lipton. It's Don Juan.
So she's basically reading for it, and I don't know, she moves around too much. That is my note for you. Stop moving around, okay? People don't just pace that much, okay? Stand still and deliver your lines. This is on camera, ma'am. Okay.
So yeah,
the role fit.
Yeah. Well, her role is, I mean, I would, it's never explicitly stated, but I have to assume it was perhaps like a lesbian, but it was definitely a masculine lady. Not to say that lesbians are masculine, but in this case, it was giving that vibe because Candy had like no makeup on and she had a blazer and she had pants on. I actually kind of dug it, to be honest. And then Carmen, her best friend, walks in and is like, what is up with this outfit? Why are you dressed like that? She is so confused.
Yeah, and then we see the character description. Soft stud / tomboy.
Yeah.
And Candy, they're both like, well, you're actually perfect for this.
Yeah. So yeah, they're like, Don Juan's like, yeah, this, you're good for this because you do sort of give a masculine energy. And she's like, what? Leader me, not give a masculine energy.
I mean, comparing it to Don Juan, by the way.
True.
So Candy's like, so this is what I have to do to find out all my friends think I'm masculine. And then we get down to what the scene is really about. How does Todd feel about the baby? Because she's going to be taking, if she gets this job, it's going to be the like when the baby's born, the due date of the baby. And she's like, well, you know, Todd said I could go and we're fighting too much about business. And I basically need to pretend that his businesses are as important as mine because, you know, it's going to cause resentment.
Yeah. She basically says that, like, with all those crazy businesses that he's starting, you know, she's tabled the discussion about them and how they're draining their resources, probably because Todd has been very, 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 very supportive of Candy's career. I'm like, well, no shit, Sherlock, because you're the breadwinner, right? Like, he can't spend that money unless you're earning it, Candy. So, of course, he's going to be supportive of your career. She's like, I am potentially going to have a role on a major television series, and he's going to start up another truck business. So,
yeah. Taco trucks on a taco, which I guess they actually have Brunch now. That's trucks. Actually the best idea for him, a taco truck. Do it.
He's probably going to do like a taco bicycle or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. He's going to do something terrible.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a crappin'.
Hazel Irvin here at Spencer Park in Coventry, where 37-year-old Emily and her mates are taking part in a fancy dress fun run to fundraise for Sport Relief. And that means I've been lumbered with her dog, Tilly. Oh, Tilly, not over there. And they're off. An impressive array of costumes on show today. Everything from penguins to pirates, all taking on poverty and injustice. Respect. Spectacular. Poverty getting crushed by Katie on a space hopper. Easy. Coming into the final stretch now, and it's neck and neck. I think we're in for a photo finish here. But it's Suzanne, smashing through injustice. She is our winner. Hey, Tilly, get off my tutu. Tilly, sit. You can help change the world too. Just get your exclusive Sport Relief merchandise at your nearest Sainsbury's. Sport Relief. It's game on. This message was brought to you by Acast.
So then we go to Cynthia's house, where Cynthia's talking to a kitchen island, and who's here to visit? Kenya! Little ray of sunshine comes over.
Yeah.
So let's see how Kenya can make everything about her.
Well, which is hard because it's hard to make everything about Kenya in this household where there are wine glasses that say hashtag chill on them. I don't know if you saw
those. Yeah, she has like a gather sign that says chill.
Like, no, but she also had, they literally like had a close up of these wine glasses that say hashtag chill on them. Yeah, I was like,
please. She's got it everywhere.
Everywhere.
She's like her own Home Goods. She just has that shit printed on everything.
She really is.
Chill
goods. So Cynthia serves Kenya some sangria out of a bottle. And even Kenya's like, sangria in a bottle? Okay. And Cynthia's like, yeah, it's actually a really good job. I'm like, this is here we are, the head of the Bailey wine cellar serving bottled sangria.
Hello, it's a thing. Have we not met my friend Lisa Vanderpump? Okay, get my
listen, I reserve the same disdain for that. I don't even care if it's delicious. Let me be a sangria snob right now, okay? I've been a snob about so many other things. Let me have this too.
Okay, you can have it.
Thanks.
There you go, Kenya. There's another coin from Ken. Sangria coin. Enjoy it.
I just feel like if I had a wine cellar and I was trying to position myself as someone who had like a fine palate for these sort of things or whatever, if I were going to serve, well, never mind. I take it back. She's probably trying to sell that bottle in her cellar. Like, oh, this is really good.
Yeah.
I just feel like, you know, why am I trying to even die on this chahil right now?
I don't know, because Cynthia's not pretending she knows anything about wine. Remember when she was opening it and she was like, yeah, I don't know anything about wine, but I thought it would be fun to have a wine bar. So.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm going down this path, because I know I'm going to get a million tweets being like, actually, this bottle of sangria is really good. I guess you know what it is? Okay, now I got to say it. I got to see this through now. I guess because it's just so easy to make sangria. You just take some shitty red wine and or whatever and like put it in a thing with a bunch of like apples and oranges. And if you want to add brandy or whatever, vodka, it's just so easy. You just let it sit for a few hours. So why would you just have like some like pre-made shit in the bottle that's probably like too sweet, you know?
Because you don't have to cut the fruit. You don't have to put in the triple sec. You don't have to infuse it with cardamom and anise. I used to make it every day at the Moroccan restaurant. So when you say sangria is easy, I say, no, it's not. Started making that shit at 4 p.m. And guess when it was done? The next day at 4 p.m. Okay? It's a process. Okay. Ron Gria. Buy it soon. On the market soon.
So, I'm sorry, everyone, who I have offended who likes the bottled sangria. I actually don't care as passionately about it. I just went down this path and I couldn't stop myself.
Yeah, worth the apology. So Cynthia's like, I was just drinking it last night and it was really good. I was just here by myself drinking the sangria, girl. And she's like, yeah. Oh, you were drinking alone? So what's wrong? Are you okay? I love that everybody pretends that drinking alone means you're an alcoholic. Fuck that.
Usually does, though.
No, it doesn't. That's crazy. You can only drink if other people see you? That's crazy. You should only like being buzzed if it's social. Fuck that. Have a baby. You'll be drinking all the goddamn time. Trust me, I know lots of mommies.
Well, how about this? I think maybe if you're drinking because you're realizing that your fiance may not be the man he's chalked up to be, that might not be the best time to drink.
Yeah, drinking, so she's like, well, I'm just trying to figure out my love life. It's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot, girl. And Kenya's like, well, what's going on? So she tells her about this fight, and they're going to go to premarital counseling. And she's like, I was pointing out things. He was pointing out things. And then I triggered him. And I just need to learn to communicate, like Michelle Obama said.
Yeah. Yeah, because Kenya's like, oh, my God, you're mirroring my life. And Cynthia goes, oh, so you don't argue well either? You know, I did learn somewhere along the way that it's all about learning how to argue with each other. Stop it, Cynthia. Stop it.
Yeah. And so, of course, Kenya takes a good 2 solid minutes to turn this into her scene. So she's like, well, I don't know his triggers. Like, why is he upset? It's like crazy because you're supposed to be in a union where you know everything about each other. And I don't know who he is.
Wow, maybe she shouldn't have gotten married to him after like 3 months. I don't know. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah. And Cynthia's like, did you see any signs with Mark? And she's like, if I even said anything about what he's done, you'd be mortified. Okay? And he can never admit he's wrong. And he's never apologized. And Cynthia's like, well, Mike does apologize.
Yeah. So,
like, trust me. Apologies don't make everything better. When you're apologizing for everything all the time, you know?
Yeah, and Cynthia goes, you know what? Mike is a good man. He's a good dad. He's great with Noelle. But no one's perfect. He doesn't always know how to argue with me. And, well, we got to learn how to argue with each other. But so Kenya's like, she's like, you know what? I hate that. Like, I hate that about the good man. Like, does a good man cheat multiple times? How about that? Which, you know what? By the way, good point from Kenya, because it is really annoying. She's like, he's a good man. He's a good man, just not perfect. Like, but he cheated. Well, not on her, on Cynthia, but still.
Yeah. And she's like, I'm not coming for him. I'm not coming for him. I'm just saying, like, in general, does a good man cheat multiple times? Okay. And she says, if you're a cheater, you're a liar. And if you're willing to tell each other the truth, then that's great. I've never lied to Mark. I've never, ever lied to Mark, which I can't imagine that being true. I mean, everybody lies. Yeah. And Cynthia's like, well, is it reciprocal? Because I would want that. She's like, well, people want hell and eyes. People want eyes water in hell, okay? That doesn't mean they get it.
Yeah. And basically, Kenya's saying that she wants intimacy and not just even sex. She just wants to feel closeness, you know? And then she starts really alluding to some shit. She's like, you know, when your husband starts changing his habits, you know, his cologne, you know, when he says I love you, who his wife is, and he changes his habits.
Yeah, she's like, every woman knows when her man is going through a change. I'm like, stop, okay? You married this guy after knowing him 5 minutes, and you've never lived around each other. Like, he's basically here to shoot. Like, well, stop acting like you're in some marriage of 20 years, and you know everything about your man, and you can change when something's wrong. It's not that something's subtle, you know? It's not something subtle that you can't tell what's wrong. He's openly hostile towards you.
Yeah, he's a dick. And on top of that, they haven't even been to counseling. I'm like, how are you guys not been to... You guys have such a dysfunctional, terrible relationship, and you haven't even been to counseling. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, then we cut over to Nini's house, and we just hear, Greg! I'm like, whoa, geez, that was an abrupt pivot there.
So she's packing because she's going to be going to New York, and then she's going to fly back for this big event just because she's such a good person, and then they're all going to go on this Greece trip. And she calls somebody, and you just hear,
It sounds like Ursula. Ursula hatching an evil plan.
And it's Wendy Williams. Ladies and gentlemen, Wendy Williams.
She's like, we're actually going to go out for a regular dinner right now. What's going on? And so Nini's, she needs advice, you know. She's like, and Nini tells us, you know, Wendy, she has a heart and people just, they just don't know about it. And I have a heart. I'm sure people don't see it, but she sees it. I'm like, you know what? You two really deserve each other. Go have your talk right now.
Just calling Wendy Williams to prove that I'm more famous than anybody, and I'm not here to spread bad information about people at all. Not at all.
Just calling here to hear what Wendy's latest thoughts on the trans community are. Just wanted to hear what that's all about.
Oh,
that's
God.
It.
So, yeah, Wendy's having a great time in life right now. Jesus, Wendy.
Jesus, Wendy Williams.
So Wendy's, Nini's basically saying Kenya's being mean to her. She's like, I just don't understand. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying. I'm really trying. I'm trying so hard, and she just doesn't speak to me, and I just don't get it. And Wendy's like, oh, you've proven to be a very good friend to me. What is happening to Wendy Williams? She sounds like she's calling from the depths of hell.
Well, quite possibly. So she's like, Nina's like, you know, I'm trying to be nice to Kenya and she treats me like shit. It's like, what have I done to you? I'm a full grown woman and Kenya is as well. She's 49. But you know what? It's like, what Nini's saying, what have I done to you? Do you remember when she was pregnant and you called her like a fat cow or whatever it was? Do you remember
Portia. Guess she did it to both of them actually.
Oh, I think Elizabeth Warren is calling. I'm sorry, Elizabeth. I'm podcasting right now. Imagine if that was actually Elizabeth Warren, because you know she actually calls people who donate to her campaign. Imagine if she was actually calling to be like, hey, look, it's Elizabeth Warren. I hear you talk about Real Housewives of Atlanta. Look, I have a plan for that. Here's what you do with Nini, okay? Send her off. Kick her off the show. Bring back Claudia Jordan. Great new show. Elizabeth Warren, 2020.
So then Nini's like, this is just going because Kenya wants it to be going, you know? She's so fucked up and she's so petty, which is hilarious coming from her. And so Wendy's trying to get gossip from her. She's like, well, I hear that Todd and Candy aren't getting along. And Nini's like, oh, no, they're very happy about their baby. And she's just trying to get something, you know? And Nini's like, keep your eye on the prize. It's Kenya. Do you not hear me? It is Kenya.
Yeah, and Wendy's basically like, listen, ultimately speaking, true colors do show. I'm like, I love that Wendy Williams is the one saying that. The one who literally last week was like crying on TV, asking for everyone's forgiveness for once again stepping in it with transphobic comments on the air.
God, what did she say?
Well, they were talking about Galentine's Day, and she was like, I love Galentine's Day, everyone. Don't you all love Galentine's Day? Okay, but you know what, though? This is for the men. Like, this is not for the men. This is just for the girls, okay? You know, because, you know what, the men will never be women because they don't have the menstruation. They don't know what we go through. And you know what? Stop wearing our dresses.
What? Oh, my God.
So she got in trouble because it's like, okay, you, like... are you less of a woman if you don't menstruate? And obviously the comment about like, stop wearing our dresses. I mean, so she had to like give a tearful apology, which is like not the first time she's had to do this, by the way.
Yeah. Well, she's classic. Wendy.
Oh my God. Well, I'm sorry that she didn't get invited to Jackson Brittany's wedding. She would have fit right in.
She should have been the preacher.
I know. Oh. I would actually not have minded that. That would have been hilarious.
So she tells Nene, well, Nene, get out your wig and your money, well-spent face, and get out there and show them your best side.
Yeah.
Nene's like, I've never done anything to my face. You wish, girl. Like, Nene, like, my God.
Yeah.
So can we have a side-by-side? All right, we'll bring up a side-by-side. So basically, Wendy's like,
she goes back into her crypt.
He is dragged back down into hell.
So now we have like flashes of everyone getting ready for the big fundraiser. We have Portia. She's like on the phone with Dennis, like all excited about Mark's event. Dennis is probably, we don't see Dennis at this point, but I'm just imagining he's just like sitting in a rumpled pile. Maybe we do see him. Either way, he's just like a rumpled pile of laundry. You know, yeah. Just like, yeah.
And then Todd and Candy's assistant, Katrina, are going over schedules for Candy's busy life. And then we go over to Cynthia getting ready with Mike, who, you know, I don't trust as far as I can throw him. And she's like, you hungry? I can make you some homemade salad. He's like, homemade. And he opens the fridge. And of course, it's a grocery store salad.
Yeah.
He's like, come on, I really like the homemade guac you made last year. And they start cracking up because that was like Cynthia's crowning jewel, you know.
By the way, also, I feel like that's like the least appealing thing. You hungry? I'll make you a homemade salad. I mean, salad is delicious. Salad can really be delicious. But you know when you're hungry and you want a snack, the last thing is you want someone to say, you want me to make you a homemade salad? You want someone to say, I can make some mac and cheese for you. There's some cookies in the cabinet. I mean, I know it's like it's healthy. Maybe even say like there's some hummus, there's some chips, but like if someone says I can make you a homemade salad, I'm not going to
probably. Yeah, it's about this relationship's failing. Okay, you heard it here first.
Yeah, like that's what happens when you date a model. You hungry? I can make you there's some iceberg. You want some three iceberg?
Yeah, are we trying to get your husband to not fuck other people or your fiance? How about we make him, yeah, some mac and cheese or just anything potato-based or just anything with tons of flour and butter, okay? Fatten him up. Don't keep him thin. It's like, gee,
homemade salad.
You want to lift some weights and have some plain chicken breast and some salad? No, inject him with sodium and get him huge.
Get him huge. And you know what? Also, like, her enthusiasm for, like, making an impromptu salad is very strange because, I don't know. I have this thing where I don't like the act of making a salad. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I like eating
a
salad.
It's just chopping shit up.
Yeah, it's just like a lot of like boring, busy work. And it's just sort of while you're doing it, you're thinking about like better things that you could have been eating. And then you finally make the salad. It's delicious. And you say, why don't I make more salads? This was totally fine and delicious and unhealthy. But while you're doing it, I'm like, oh, I've got to wash the lettuce. I got to spin it. And now I've got to clean the spinner. You know, it's all that. Just for a homemade salad.
Yeah, chopping sex.
I've got a lot of complaints today. I apologize. But I'm just going through it.
Don't apologize. You do you. I don't think anyone out there is like, no, I love making salads.
I've come for homemade salad and I've come for sangria. But I'm coming for homemade salad offered as a snack option. That's what I'm coming for. I'm generally for salad, but I do find in general, even when I'm up on salad, I find that I'm very low. I'd have low motivation in making them.
Okay. Noted.
Thank you.
Then for president.
No, the reason why I'm actually...
My anti-making salad platform.
Elizabeth Warren's going to call back. You know what? The reason why I'm actually articulating this, Ronnie knows, because before the show began, I was expressing the guilt I have and that I have all this farmer's market stuff I got a week ago. It's just like slowly rotting in my fridge. And I think this is my way of explaining why I haven't used it. It's because I...
Yeah, now you're giving yourself excuses. You're like, I hate salad. Salad sucks. That's why I'm letting all that food go to waste. That's it.
I'm justifying my behavior. That's
basically having a huge justification.
I'm going to a whole other thing right now during this podcast. My mind is in my fridge right now, and those lovely baby gems that are just dying.
This is basically Ben's idea of taking a personal day.
There's
no one else to show up to work, so he still has to come in. It's like, Ben, what do you think about salad? You go, girl.
Like what Kenya's going through this episode, hurt people hurt people, right? But the same goes for me. Hurt salad creators hurt people.
Yeah. Hurt salads hurt people.
Hurt salads hurt people. Hurt produce hurt people.
Oh, God. So Kenya is bringing Mark suit. She's like, hi, your stylist is here. And he is just an absolute fucking evil troll of a monster.
He is just vile.
Terrible. He is a disgusting human being.
And you know what I liked about this episode? It's slightly jumping forward, is that a lot of our discussion about Mark versus Kenya has been, there's been some debate over like, he's vile, but then she's terrible too. And maybe like she brings out this in him, yada, yada, yada. But what made me happy in this episode is that we saw him being actually a dick to non-Kenya people. So I was like, okay, really, he really is that it's him. He's a huge dick.
Disgusting. So she's like, your stylist is here. And he's like, well, are we going to match? I mean, come on. Everything match? Like, come on, idiot. Basically. Yeah. And she's gotten him all these options because apparently he just told her today that she was supposed to dress him. And he's like, I told you 3 days ago.
And he's like, no, you didn't. He goes, you weren't paying attention. I'm like, how about thank you? Because you could have bought your own damn suit, okay?
Yeah. And it's so matching so her dress. So she shows her dress and he's like, oh, that's what you're wearing? Pretty. Oh, yeah. That's very shiny.
Yeah.
God, that's really shiny. Yeah.
He like shiny negs it. I'm like, what's wrong with it being shiny? Is it not allowed to be shiny?
Yeah, he's just...
Nice dress.
It's hard to watch.
It was a nice dress, and he's bitching about the socks, and he hates the tie. He hates every single tie. Well, then go bring your own fucking tie, you asshole. Those were nice ties. I was actually looking at them. I was like, God, I feel like I always struggle when I pick out ties. And Kenya just picked out 3 really good options for that suit. And now he's going to complain about them. He has former Miss USA picking out clothes for him. And he's still going to bitch about it.
He's doing nothing. She's done everything for this thing. He didn't even get his own guests. Like, every guest is a friend of hers.
Yeah. And Kenya says that, like, she's like, what she's getting annoyed at is that Mark is acting like he's entitled to her help. And she doesn't mind helping, but she wants to feel appreciated, which I think is probably something that a lot of people feel in a lot of relationships. So I'm sure there are a lot of people that empathize with that. But then he starts complaining that they have to match, like his dress has to match, like his suit has to match her dress. And she's like, well, we're a couple. Couples have to match, which is a little extra. But at the same time, it's like he's acting like a 12-year-old boy. Like, no, mom, I don't want to match. Just like fucking match with your wife. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah. And then she starts asking him if he's talked to the people who are like, if he's even called Jill to see if he's going to come. Like, does he know what he's supposed to do and how long he's supposed to speak? And he's like, he's good. He's going to meet at 5. We're going to run through. I mean, God, we have plenty of speakers and it's annoying. It's like, it's about brotherhood. It's not about speakers. It's not about that.
Like, yeah, he's like, he said he didn't feel the need to harass him. He's like, when we have planned speakers, that gets annoying, it's not that formal. No, it's about brotherhood, and it's like, actually, Mike is a sport. He has like a busy job and he is a publicly facing person and like, he is doing this for you. And so you don't wait, he's your MC. You don't wait until like 30 minutes beforehand to tell him what to do. Like, out of respect to him, like, If he's made to look like an asshole out of this, like, that's not good. You know, that's just not how you run an event.
Yeah. So she's like, well, we're sure we have enough seats? And he's like, yeah. I mean, we ended up blending the people in the organization with your friends. And she's like, no, they need their own tables. Okay. That's why I did the seating chart. And now you're changing it. And now it's putting me in an awkward position, which it ends up doing, you know? And he's like, no. I mean, that's it. We're grouping them with the organization. That's it. That's how it is. Which I guess they're selling these fundraising tickets as like be with the cast of Real Housewives.
I think that's what it was.
And so he's like, no, we're whoring out every single one of your friends to sell these tickets, and they have to sit with the people, which is bullshit, and that's wrong to do.
Yeah,
none of those people are, you know, being paid to be there, getting an appearance fee or whatever.
And he also clearly has no idea how any of this is operating, because she's like, I did all the seats. And he's like, no, I'm keeping it how it is, but I'm adding people to the table. And she's like, it's an 8-seat table and we have 8 people for each table. And Mark is just sort of like acting like, well, we sold the tickets and like someone's going to take care of it. It's like that classic, awful supervisor who just tells you to do things, has no vision on how it's supposed to happen. It makes everyone's life hell, and it does it the last second. And then when things don't work out, he's like, but I told you how to do it. This is what you should be doing, you know? And you're like, fuck you, dude. Yeah. I got so mad about that seating arrangement thing. I got so mad.
And then she's like, all right, I'm just going to go get dressed. He's like, you're going to get dressed before me? He does that a lot with his voice. Like, like he's so mad he just can't talk. Oh, he's horrible.
She's like, there's other stuff I have to do, hair and makeup. And he just like rolls his eyes like, oh, God, women are so crazy. He goes, all right, chief. All right, chief. Okay, get dressed early. Oh, wow. Women are so crazy. Get dressed early. Okay, wow, chief.
He sucks. And then she closes the door behind her and she's like, asshole.
Yeah. Why is he shocked? Shocked that she's going to get started early. Like, and if she started later, he'd be like, oh, I'm waiting 2 hours for her. You know, 2 hours waiting for Kenya.
He's just going out of his way to show how much he hates Kenya. Like, he's really going out of his way to rub it in that he doesn't like Kenya. But
yeah,
like, I get you. I don't like Kenya either. But what are you doing here? You know?
Yeah, but you married her.
Yeah,
so,
like, what the hell?
Not you, Ronnie. I know you would never marry her.
You never know. I probably would. You know I love crazy people.
The thing is that you and Kenny would probably get along so well.
Yeah, probably. So
now we go to the event. So now it's like the event. And so Cynthia and Mike show up first, and they meet the charity founder, who seems very nice. And Mark isn't there yet. Okay, Mark is doing this thing. He's not there yet. And Mike is like, I need to go over the run of show. Like, this is like my... You know, like, what am I even doing here, right? So Mark then comes in, and he checks in. The way the setup is, like, the two women sitting at, like, a table, and there's, like, an area, and then you go down staircase, like, the main seating area. So Mark checks in, and he starts, like, talking to the women at that table. And did you notice this, Ronnie? He was all smiles. He was like, oh, thank you so much. Yeah, thank you. And he has, like, he's just being all super flirty, and I'm like, you are such a faker. You are so phony and fake.
Yeah, serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
Total criminal vibes, you know, like violent criminal vibes.
Yeah.
Just how he's like, hey, ladies. And then at home, he's like, oh, fuck off. We have to match.
Seriously. And Mike Hill's down there. He doesn't even seem to understand what this charity is. I don't think anyone really understands. He's like, what is going on? He's like talking to someone. He and Cynthia are waiting. Mark Daly comes down the staircase. He literally looks at Mike, his MC, his celebrity MC. I mean, Mike Hill is a sportscaster, you know? And Mike doesn't even go up to him. He starts talking to random people. He's like, hey, we made it happen. Yeah, hey, good to see you. Hey. He's being like, he's trying to be like a big politician, like clearly trying to be the charmer, the just a politician, you know. It was like sickening to me.
Yeah, he talks to everybody but Mike, and Cynthia's like, yeah, gave me bad. Mm-hmm. It's a little off-putting. Okay.
Yeah.
And so then finally Mark's like, oh, hey, and hugs Mike like he hasn't seen him. And Cynthia asks where Kenya is, and he's like, oh, you know, glamming, you know, women.
It's like, you realize you're talking to a supermodel, right? Like, you're literally making fun of her job.
Yeah, you know you are talking to a woman who woke up at 5 a.m. to look like this right now.
You know you're talking to a woman who has given up so many opportunities for Stouffer's for a homemade salad.
So then Eva comes, and Mark is explaining what a mentor is to people, which is, you know, so him. And then he tells Eva's husband, he's like, so, you know, I don't really know you. You know, I never really met you, so I'm glad you came. Yeah, I'm glad you came, because I tried to reach out a few times, so glad you could make it, because I tried to reach out to you.
Yeah, and so Michael is just like, he's very polite, but you can see Michael's like, this fucker, who the fuck is this guy? I'm a lawyer, okay? And Mark is like, yeah, I want everyone to speak, so if you want to speak, it depends on your comfortable level, but I don't want to pressure anyone. I'm like, you are asking this guy to be a speaker at a charity event, like, 5 minutes beforehand? I mean, listen, Michael is prepared for it because he ran for office. He's a lawyer. But, like, that is so unprofessional. That is so unprofessional.
Yeah. And he's like, I mean, okay. And great.
Michael definitely has. Speech. Yeah. It's like, you're going to first, like, be passive aggressive to him. And then you're going to ask him to speak at your event. I was like, the balls on this douchebag. It's ridiculous.
So Kenya drives up and she calls him. She's like, I'm here. Are you going to come out and get me? Because to her, this is like the debutante ball, you know, it's like her introduction to society with a husband. So he's like, oh, God, give me 2 minutes. So he comes outside to get her and he's like, God, it's hot. And then he sees the security guard and he's like, have you been here the whole time? And he's like, yeah, I've been here since 6:30. And he's like, well, why isn't she coming in? And he said, she won't text me back. So I don't know what's going on with her. So he gets Kenny out of the car and he's like, so you had security waiting out here for an hour and a half? And she goes, he's security. He's like, why would you do that? And she's like, I'm confused as to why anything is being mentioned besides how beautiful I look.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of see both their points, believe it or not. I mean, I understand why he's like, what the fuck? Why are we paying for this guy to be standing around? You know, by the way, it was for the guy that had been there since 6:30, it was 7:20. So it was only 50 minutes, not an hour and a half. But at the same time, if she says, I'm going to be there at 6:30 and then she's late and the security guard's job is to be there, it's kind of like, it's his job. Like, I think that's what she was saying. It's his job. Like, what do you want me to do? You know?
Yeah. So he's like, well, everything looks great. You've got a good eye. And she's like, you have a great eye. Look who you married. Ha, ha, ha. It's like so hard to watch this.
God. And she's like, you like to step and repeat? Because she got him to step and repeat. And he goes, it's fine. Like, how about thank you? Thank you for taking that off my plate and making this.
So Tanya comes with Portia and Dennis. And Portia's like, you don't have a date today. She's like, well, your butt's big enough to be my date. So it's bigger than me. So I'll just go with your butt. And so they start cracking up. And meanwhile, by the way, well, yes, Kenya is petty, Betty, but I just wanted to be the bigger person. I didn't even bother asking Paul. I love that.
Yeah, I know. I think she just showed up because she just wanted to say petty Betty. She's like, ooh, I thought of that one. That's a good one. I got to take that back up to Tanyanto. did you notice, by the way, Kenya's also in this episode started introducing herself around as, hi, I'm Mrs. Daly. So Kenya's saying hi to Cynthia and Eva and Chahil and, you know, Michael, everyone, etc. And so Tanya sits down next to Portia, and it was supposed to be Shamia's seat, Shamia and Gerald, but they're not coming. So Tanya took the seat, but then Kenya has to kick her out because it's supposed to be someone else sitting there. And I actually did not think this was a petty moment.
It totally was. It was 100% a petty moment. The reason why is
because Mark had fucked up all the seating, and that's why, because Kenya was like, you have to fill those seats because I just kicked her out of there. They can't just be sitting there empty.
Yeah, but how is that not a petty moment? If she knows they're empty and she says someone's sitting there, and then she goes to Mark and says, well, you have to fill those seats. It's like, I can't look like an asshole.
Oh, I see.
And have those
seats
empty. That's how I took it.
Oh, yeah, that probably makes more sense. I was thinking it like that there was someone sitting there, and she had to, like, preserve the seating order that Mark had fucked up. And then she's like, Mark, you better get those people in there. Otherwise, I'm going to look petty. But Your way also probably makes more sense, which is that she just was
Ken,
like, okay,
Ken is still an asshole. You know, and all of this stuff that's happening with Mark, nobody deserves to be treated like this. And I do feel for Kenya in this, in that regard, but she's still an asshole.
Like, yeah.
You're still taking this moment to be as shitty as you can to everybody who's coming out to support your event, you know?
Yeah.
And who are being forced to sit with people so that they get, they're giving like their celebrity to the event, and you acting like they're not bringing anything to the event, especially when it comes to Marlo later, is bullshit. You know, you're making her sit with people so they feel like their money is well spent on these stupid tickets, and then you're treating her like, well, you didn't give me any money. That's shitty.
Right. Well, it was Mark who did that. So then like Kenya's trying to be like a hostess and like walk around, and Mark's like, why don't you stay, honey? Why don't you stay, babe? And then he starts stressing out because the timeline's tight. So he's getting all antsy. And so then the show sort of begins, and a guy goes up there to sing a cappella. He's singing like Amazing Grace or something. And everyone's just sort of like has their eyes closed or is like holding hands. And the camera just keeps cutting to Mark, just looking pissed and bored and being impatient, just like totally not present with an otherwise lovely moment.
Yeah. So then Marlo comes with her nephews, and she's like, well, one thing I can't teach them is how to be men, so I'm excited to bring them here tonight. And then Mike Chill's getting on with his speech and the welcoming and all of that stuff. And then Marlo's like, so where are we sitting? She goes to Kenya and she's like, where are we sitting? And Kenya's like, right over there. And Marlo's like, let's wait in the back. So she walks to the back because she's not going to sit wherever Kenya just told her she's supposed to sit.
Well, because Marlo was trying to sit at the very front table, and Kenya had to be like, it's over here. And so then but there was like confusion, and Mark was giving his speech. And I thought for sure this was going to turn into one of those scenes like, I was giving a speech and you were talking, which shockingly it does not become that. But either way, Kenya's just trying to sort of be like, just like sit here. And Marlo's kind of making a scene. Marlo's being a little ridiculous too, if you ask me. And so then he is trying to so there's like hubbub trying to like place Marlo, and Kenya's trying to place her, but also be quiet, et cetera, et cetera. And so things are starting to go downhill. And then Mike gets on the mic, and he is like, I just have to acknowledge we have to acknowledge our queens. And Cynthia's like, you know, it would have been nice if Kenya's husband acknowledged her too, by the way Chahil just acknowledged me.
Yeah, and the producer asks Kenya, how do you feel about Mark not giving you any credit for anything? And Kenya's like, this is the time for you to tell the world how much you value your spouse, and it's crickets.
I actually don't think it's necessary. I mean, oddly enough, it would have been nice if he did that. I don't think that Mark was under any obligation to give like a big shout out to Kenya, but he should have.
I think he was under an obligation. She put together the whole thing for him.
Yeah. I mean,
from what we've seen, she's done everything. She put the whole thing together. So for him to just be like, yep, you know, it's even her friends that are speaking. It's her friend that is up there speaking, you know, and he can't even say thank you for the help. He's a prick.
Yeah, no, I'm just men in terms of like if the mandate is about like connecting an older generation of men with younger men, et cetera, men. Not saying that like women aren't part of that, but like if you're speaking specifically just about the charity, like I think it's not the biggest crime in that situation, but I certainly would not have ignored it. I like that the right thing to do would have been to give a shout out to Kenya for like what you said, like organizing everything and using all her friends and connections to make this, to raise the profile of this event.
Yeah. So Marlo is walking out, of course, because she's Marlo. You would have been able to figure this out a lot easier had you been on time for fucking once. My God. So she's like, we're leaving. We are leaving. And the nephews are like, why are we leaving? And she says, they have us at a whole nother table, not sitting with everybody. Don't ever let somebody make you feel like you're second place.
Like, Marlo, you've been a friend of for like 8 years.
So then Cynthia goes out to talk to her, and Marlo's talking to the girls at the table, and she's like, well, I looked it up online, and it says all ages, so I brought them. It's like, yeah, but is this a thing where people buy tickets? Like, you could have told someone you were bringing the kids, you know?
Exactly. I mean, there's like a lot of like bad etiquette all around happening, just because it is, yes, it's like, because on the one hand, Marlo has two boys who are the exact who need to be, this is like, these are the people that need to be here and experiencing all this. At the same time, she did bring two extra seats. Like, you can't just like come on with three people without, you know, it's all a disaster.
Yeah. And Cynthia's like, well, you know, don't worry about it. The table's really close. You can touch us. Like, you can just reach out and touch us. We're that close. And she's like, okay.
So, and also just take a seat. Like, who cares? Like, it's kind of like she, I understand what she's saying. Don't let anyone make you feel like second place. But seriously, this is not about you right now. Take a seat. Maybe it's not the table you want to be at, but you can actually, like, once the speeches are over, you can circulate. Take a seat. Let your kids take this in and learn. You know, to me, it was like, oh, God, classic Marla making this about her instead of
After the speeches are done. You know, yeah. Just sit wherever you're supposed to eat. It's not like you're going to be talking anyway. Well, maybe mm-hmm. you will. I don't know. So then Nene and Greg saunter in, you know, when it's almost over.
Of course.
As Nene does.
They have a good excuse this time. She did get off a plane, and she's happy to tell that to us again and again and again.
Yeah. She's like, that's the new Nene. I literally left a meeting for this.
Yeah.
So then Marlo goes up to Mark, and she's like, oh, hi. How you doing? And he's like, oh, God. He's just like, oh, yeah. Shit. I'm going to be pulled into some housewives bullshit now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So she brings up, you know, Kenya sent the invite, blah, blah, blah. Then we cut to Kenya talking to Eva, and Kenya's like, well, other than the mishap, it was fine. And she says, what's the mishap, Marlo? I think she was just confused. And she's like, it was classless, very classless.
And yeah, she's basically like, even if you sit in the back, it's a free seat. And you got two free seats on top of that.
Yeah. And then we cut back to Marlo and Mark talking. And she's like, so I just want to ask you a question. And I'm not trying to start anything. And he's like, good, because you know I don't like this drama. And she's like, did we have a table? Like, did we originally have a table? And he's like, you did. Yep, yep. It was the same table as Nene. All right. Glad the boys enjoyed it. Glad you guys had fun. Great. And he just walks off.
He has no idea.
Yeah. So then Cynthia's like, well, I think it's great she invited the nephews, you know. And Kenya's like, well, that's fine. But don't come in with an attitude. Just be glad you're here. That's how you come into a charity event.
Yeah.
Charity event.
But Kenya's also like, belaboring this way too much. She, for someone who's talking about rising above it, she's really not rising above it all. Just like, you know, put a pin in it and bitch about it later, but like right now, like, you are theoretically, based on what you've been saying, trying to have a wonderful event, and all you're doing is bitching right now. Because then she goes up to Candy and she's saying, talking about how Marlo is taking three seats and is all mad and da 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 da, and Candy's just nodding like, I'm not getting involved. She's like, see, no, Kenya, I'm just going to nod. But I will not get involved because I'm auditioning for the show.
Yeah, and Kenya's just going off. It's like, I cannot stand these girls, these nasty, entitled women. And then Mark goes, oh, hey, she brought her two nephews? I love that. And we just get the housewives.
Yeah, and then Kenya's like, well, she should have been smiling. And Mark's like, we're moving forward, okay? We're moving forward. I'm just going to disregard your emotions right now. We're moving forward.
Yeah, and she's like, for once be on my side. It's like, God, you're trying to start a fucking fight.
No, it's not the time.
It's like, there is no better time for you to just have an episode where everybody's on your side, and you just can't do it. You just can't do it, Kenya.
Stop making it hard for me to defend you. So then she starts making the rounds, and here's another example. She's making the rounds, she's thanking everyone, and she thanks Greg, but she does not even acknowledge Nene, which is so petty. I mean, it made me laugh because, you know, I liked watching that, but it was so petty for someone who's acting like a hostess or whatever. I mean, just hug her, you know?
Yeah.
So then the co-host, another woman named Kenya, asks Mark, she goes, so are you enjoying the ride of being married? And he's like, I hate it. Everyone knows that. I hate it. I hate it so much. I hate it. And that security guard always hovering. It's obnoxious. Oh, my God.
Yeah, because Kenya's walking around with her own security detail. So everybody she goes to talk to, this guy's right behind her, just following her the whole time. Like, she's a fucking president. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. She's such an idiot. Yeah. So he's like, Kenya, come here. Kenya, come here. And she's like waving her over. He's like, can we get rid of this? Like, we don't need the security guard to stand right behind you, okay? It's obnoxious. And she's like, fine.
Yeah. So now she's like, okay, she basically tells Mark, okay, you got to go thank everyone for coming. And he just ignores her and walks away and just starts like schmoozing with other people, etc. And then he starts thanking people, but he just clearly has no regard for his wife, like none whatsoever. And Kenya's just visibly miserable. And then she starts saying things like,
I miss the fact that this is where we everyone's happy and that's where we used to be. I miss being happy.
I'm like, you're talking like that was 20 years ago. You guys had like a whirlwind romance and then it turns out you barely know each other at all. What do you expect?
Yeah. And then they pop up Mark audio waves on the screen from his mic, but they're not shooting him. And he's like, tell them they can't film forever. They gotta wrap it. They just gotta get out of here. It's gotta wrap it up. And the producer says, okay, got it. And he's like, don't tell me got it. End it. If I have to come down here in 5 minutes and it's not over, I'm going to end it, all right? I don't give a fuck. End it. End it. And you just see him storming down the hallway.
Yeah. He's like, they're never going to see me again after this event. End it. I'm like, thank God. Also, sorry that your charity got just like so much free publicity. So sorry about that. We'll make sure it doesn't happen again, Mark.
Yeah. And then on the screen, it fades in. The day after the charity event, Kenya and Mark announced separately that they're filing for divorce.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, God.
He's a douchebag. You know, she's a piece of work, but he's a douchebag. He's a real douchebag. And
yeah, he really is.
He showed, like, that he was a douchebag, and it's not just with Kenya. He's a douchebag to other people, too. A real faker, phony guy who wants everyone to see him as this amazing, awesome, smiling dude. He's just phony and awful, 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 awful.
Yeah, he sucks. You suck, Mark.
Sucks.
See you.
Bye. Bye.
Later, skater.
Well, everybody, thank you so much for joining us for Real Housewives of Atlanta. Run up to watchwhatcrappens.com for links to Patreon for bonus episodes and videos and ticket links to all of our upcoming live shows. We will be back tomorrow with Stars of Sunset.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.